people always say to me, they're like, oh my God, your dog passed away. I love my dog. I can't imagine. I'm like, well, you won't have to imagine because it's going to happen.
It's happening.
Get ready. Those are the voices of Michael McMillan and Bryce Johnson. They are the host and inventors, curators?
Sure.
Collaborators of the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
Seekers.
Truth Seekers.
Yeah.
Which is their podcast. What platform is that on?
Actually, we're just about to launch on Campfire.
So there you go.
There you go.
Record podcast deal.
People love this podcast.
Oh,
yours.
Oh, wow.
Thanks. And this one,
I mean,
too,
they love mine.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to have a diverse selection of people on. Also very much hinges on who I know and who likes me back. Michael, you and I took a meeting.
Yes. Apparently went well.
Apparently went well because you're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And you guys are here, and we did some deep dives into your podcast, and we got some crossover questions.
Oh, great.
Because I was nervous.
We reposted on our Instagram. I don't know if you saw. People asked questions as well on our Instagram, but I think they were very like, what kind of toothpaste do you like, Bryce?
What?
I don't know. It was more about us, not about them.
Or is it about them getting off?
It might have been a little bit about that.
Like when people do like pineapple on pizza, yes or no? I'm like, get a fucking life. I know that you don't care. I know you just want to incite a riot. You guys just got really uncomfortable. Let's get started.
You're the one who brought up pineapple on pizza. It's your own fucking... Can we say fucking?
I don't know where to stand.
It's your own
that.
Fucking fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't public radio.
Okay, good.
So we're going to dive right in with these questions.
Oh, man.
And this first one contains a grammar, a spelling, I don't know, just an error, which was my favorite part of it.
Oh.
Danny Terraquino.
Terraquino.
Terraquino? Terraquino. Terraquino. What are y'all's opinions on medians? And I wrote in my notes, I think medians are very necessary.
Yeah, for traffic.
Right.
But let's assume he meant mediums.
Let's do it.
Scam artist or are some people truly gifted with an extra sense? I've always been skeptical, but GF told me about an existence that was too eerie to make up. I didn't read the rest of the question because the median thing got me.
No, I think we know what he's looking for.
Let's cobble together.
I'm pretty sure it's not street blocking.
Mm-hmm. Cobble.
Scam I know we're probably thinking gifted.
Of. I think truly gifted. I think we're probably thinking of the same thing, and we mention her all the time on our podcast, but we have what we like to call a resident intuitive or medium. And we actually met her all. She did a group reading, I guess you could say, and she was like, look, I don't need anything. I don't need you to tell me anything. I don't need you to write anything down. You know, I'm just gonna start, and then I'm gonna go into it. Just think
she
of somebody.
She speaks to the dead.
She speaks to the dead,
and she can intuit things that are coming from your future.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she was like, think of somebody you've lost, and I'm just gonna tell you a bit about them if they have any message for you. And also to preface too, which I thought was interesting, was she was like, you know, this is something I didn't seek. I didn't want it when I was a little kid. I saw dead people. I tried to avoid it for the longest time.
Or avoid saying it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But she was like, I couldn't run anymore. I just had to confront it, and so here's where I am. But she started with me, and I thought of the person I had lost in my life, and she was just like...
One of the things she does to confirm that it's the person is she describes how they died.
Yeah. So she was just like...
Which is all anyone ever wants to know.
Yeah, totally. Let's revisit that moment.
You know, I know. But it's definitely a clue as to like, okay, there's a million ways this could go wrong because there's obviously a million ways to die. But
piano fell on his head.
Yeah,
and so specific.
Yeah, she was so specific, especially with mine. And it was like, it was a pretty interesting circumstance surrounding the death of that loved one. But I was like, okay, we're on and rolling. So
yeah, she's like nailed it. I think it's okay for us to say her name. I think she'd be fine with it.
I think she would
that. Yeah. We're speaking of Adela Levine.
Yeah, and, that's right.
She's rad. I just recently had a family member do a phone session with her, and it blew her mind. And she has predicted things that have come true in my life. And
so is this like, you know, because I think the skepticism comes from there are so many bad ones. Like
sure.
LA is replete with psychic centers open 24 hours a day.
Yeah, listen, there are a lot of bad actors in LA too. You know what I mean? There's a lot of bad plumbers
bad
in LA.
Yeah.
I would say most people are not great at their jobs. And then when you have somebody who's like, and I can tell the future, you know, it's a hit or miss situation. You know, I went into that gallery reading, you know, we like to keep like a healthy skeptical mind, but we're obviously super into this stuff. And I was really, really impressed and have continued to be impressed with what she's able to do.
Just
so
her
I
or
know
in general.
At least one.
At least one. But that's
If there's one, there's got to be 100, you know.
Or there can only be one.
Or, yeah, or
she's
there's
like
only
the Highlander.
One. Yeah, exactly. Highlander of mediums.
I always feel like it's, because I listen to the lore podcasts and a lot of it is about spiritualists and mesmerists and all this stuff and how they were scamming people. People were a lot more ignorant back then because they didn't have like the internet. And, like,
and a lot of people had lost people from tuberculosis in World War One.
No, everyone was dying of a peanut allergy. Like, that's all that it was.
It took 100 years to figure out that's what it was.
I feel like, first of all, the part about it, and this is no disrespect to her, that's like, look, I didn't want this gift. What kid is ever like, fuck yeah, spirit's haunting me, ready to go.
Totally.
Everybody knows kids love ghosts.
Yeah,
right,
they love being scared. I also feel like I could pretend to tell the future. And I also find it fascinating that clairvoyants and psychics, they can never give you bad news. I'm like, oh, future's just rosy because I paid $45?
Right.
I think that's odd.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, I do think that there are people who...
No one wants to pay to feel shitty.
True, but I've heard of people who are like, I've seen some stuff or I've had that I don't want to share with them because it's... But in some of the stuff that Adela has predicted in my life, it wasn't like it was super amazing news. But on the show, she predicted a meeting that I was going to take out of the blue last June. She described the office that it was in and this opportunity that was going to take place. And I was like, no, there's no way. And even on the show, we had a meeting that I thought, oh, maybe this is it. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I knew this was going to happen. I was like, there's no fucking way. Hmm. And then she even said, this is going to be out of left field. You're never going to see it coming. It's going to be really exciting. It'll be a little bit of a detour from...
And bam, cancer. I was in my doctor's office.
Yeah, exactly.
With a beautiful view.
Yeah, I just got to, yeah.
She said the office would have a chair.
Yeah, it was going to be a chair.
All right, so she got that.
But anyway, she nailed it.
So you're believing
it happened. I went, oh my God.
But what about all the times a psychic has said, like, an amazing opportunity is coming and it doesn't, and we're like, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's like a fortune cookie, you know? And plus, they live in decrepitated apartments or condos, and you're like, can't you predict yourself a lotto number or something? I mean, you know, so.
Decrepitated.
Yeah, that's a real word.
Yeah.
So it's sketchy at
predicted
best.
By the median.
We like to make up words on our podcast.
But I don't want to speak for Michael, but I will. But I think more in general, we kind of subscribe to a lot of these stranger-than-normal aspects, not just mediumship, but I don't know, UFOs, aliens,
cryptids.
Well, we
cryptids, got questions about a lot
all
of cryptids.
That stuff. We're open to it all.
Look, mediums, hit or miss.
We got a lot of cryptid questions. I did have to go. I consider myself someone who knows everything.
Great.
And
great.
That was a real bit of humble pie for me. I had to go look up what a cryptid was. And I was planning on pretending like I knew what it was.
Right, you don't want to do
that. But that's not really on brand for me.
Yeah.
So a cryptid is like a creature of lore.
Yeah, a hidden animal. That's basically what a cryptid is. It's something that is – a cryptid could be anything from like – the legendary Bigfoot to a undiscovered squid that lives in the ocean. So that might be theorized. So they're finding cryptids all the time.
That's right.
And all the time.
Well,
no, seriously.
A lot of like now they're usually like small frogs in the rainforest, that type of stuff. But so it's sort of an umbrella category. When we're talking about cryptids, we tend to mean those creatures of more mythological folklore, stuff that people think they've seen, like the Loch Ness Monster.
Or like a dinosaur. Like,
that comes up. Yeah. It comes
dinosaurs
up.
Dinosaurs do.
You'd be surprised.
From time to time.
Very religious
people. Have seen pterodactyls flying over Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Just big bird.
Yeah. Big birds.
The reading, so speaking of cryptids, the underscore reading, underscore writing, underscore puppet. Ugh. Get rid of those underscores. If you could create a legend, cryptids / tulpa. Is this a word you know?
Oh, tulpa.
What is that?
So this one's a little tricky.
Yeah, no. So the idea is that if enough people believe in something, they can actually create a spiritual essence of it. And as a matter of fact, there was a research project done out of a couple researchers in Toronto where they all decided to try this tulpa method. And they all agreed they were going to create a spirit named Philip. And they gave it a personality and everything like that. And actually, after that, they started having some sort of strange, mysterious things that were taking place with this entity that they created. Mm-hmm. They were able to, like, summon him up on a Ouija board, and he would spell out his name and do different things. And
possible that it was a different spirit taking...
absolutely.
That's why you shouldn't mess with a Ouija board.
Totally.
But also, it doesn't even take a collective, because there are people who create their own tulpas, which are basically fictional characters that they then manifest into reality.
Are you talking about Sims?
Sort of, yeah. It is. That's why I have a harder time wrapping my brain around it, because I don't know if they're... I don't think they're physically manifesting them.
Yeah.
Although they seem to think that they have conjured out of the immaterial a material personality.
It feels like a Reddit thread.
It is definitely a Reddit thread. We haven't done a specific episode on tulpas yet, but they come up.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that I want to like.
Well, an example could be a UFO could be a tulpa, just from the idea that so many people believe in them and subscribe to them, that hence they actually exist and people do witness and see them.
Could be a conspiracy theory.
It's like a psychic projection.
Sure.
Right.
The reading writing puppet. If you could create a legend cryptid tulpa either by accident or on purpose, what would it be? Would it be like? Would it be like the unicorn that only appears in virgins, etc.? You guys got to write.
We got a fun fan base, by the way.
I just cut and pasted. So what? I guess if you could create one,
I'm just curious. If a unicorn is in a virgin, does that make them a virgin anymore?
No, it makes the virgin not a virgin.
That's what I'm
right.
saying.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
That's like,
you're no longer a virgin if
one.
You have a unicorn in you. I'm just
deep,
saying.
Deep inside,
you're magical.
The first thing that came to my mind was like a dragon. Like Pete's dragon, that's a perfect tulpa.
Yeah.
Like, right? I guess he was invisible to everybody else, but he was real. I'd love to have like a dragon I could fly around on.
That would be dope. I would say there's enough strange shit out there. And then researching all these crazy stories, you'd be like, wait, there's that? Like even Michael did a story on a bat squatch, which is just like it sounds, a Sasquatch that has wings like a bat. And you're like going, what?
How big are the wings?
The most metal of all cryptids.
So big wings.
He came out of,
not
yeah.
actual bat wings.
No,
he
kind of had big, they were like leathery, furry wings.
Leathery,
that were,
tassels.
Yeah.
Fucking silver belt.
I think the wingspan was like 15 feet across.
Yeah.
Like Dwight Schrute had a cryptid.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right. Denise. I know Mikey and Brycey. Do you guys like those names?
Not sure. At all.
She thinks you're hot. Are more into UFOs, cryptozoology, and paranormal encounters. But what about conspiracy theories?
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to every episode, and it's been mentioned here and there, but never quite dipped into. Have you both ever had an extremely analytical thought where all these theories and stories about encounter sites and experiences with the paranormal could just be smoke and mirrors to mislead curious questioning minds? You guys, these run-on sentences.
Try reading our listener files.
I'm just going to skip to this. The people like Bob Lazar
and
that maniacally panicked caller on Coast to Coast admitting Area 51 truly has alien UFO evidence and knowledge could actually just be a part of the elaborate story to fool us all.
Sure.
Reminds me of the song lyric by Type O Negative, "Trust and you will be trusted," said the liar to the fool. I guess her question is about conspiracy theories, which kind of taps into your tulpa theory. Like if enough people believe it and say it, it becomes a thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's also, sometimes that's just called zeitgeist and rumor, you know. It's funny because actually I'm not sure when this airs, but the episode that we've just recorded, which should be out by the time people listen to this, we actually do dive into a little bit of conspiracy theory for, I think, one of the first times. And, you know, I think that, sure, all of this is very strange stuff. We don't really know what any of this stuff is at the end of the day. I think one of the, you know, we tend to stay away from conspiracy theories because often at the end of the day, they tend to all boil down to something that's pretty dark, usually anti-Semitic, usually super right-wing.
It's so true.
You know, and I think it comes from a very xenophobic place of and fear that we have no control over our own lives, and we want someone who's a grandmaster, who has a plan, who's manipulating everything to put order into chaos. Otherwise, it's just humans fucking up their lives, which is what I think it is. Now, definitely there's been misinformation, disinformation.
People do conspire.
There are such things as conspiracies, obviously. And I do think that there have been times when there have been, say, secret military bases where the Army or the Air Force or the Navy would rather have someone believe that there are UFOs flying around there than some top secret military aircraft from what they're
doing. Which comforts me more to know that they're doing that.
Yeah, they're building the, you know, they were building the stealth bomber in Area 51. That's what was going on for so many years
in the 80s. Look at the whole Denver airport.
You know, oh boy. We bring up the Denver airport in this episode that I'm talking about. It's the episode's called the Dulce Alien War with Vella Lavelle. Anyway, I think there's so much bullshit in all of this, and so that's why I tend to in the stories that I choose, I really try to tend to focus just on the lore and the stories themselves.
So no more conspiracy theories questions?
Not a lot.
You don't want any more?
No. We can take more. Because also I have definitely spent my life enjoying certain conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
My 7th grade civics teacher was really into the JFK assassination and made us study it for the entire month of November. And I got so into it. I was having nightmares that Lee Harvey Oswald's ghost was going to come murder
me
in my sleep.
Which theory do you subscribe to?
Now I'm sort of who knows because there's so many. There's one that recently, I don't know how recent, but I heard recently that the second shooter was not someone on the grassy knoll. It was actually one of JFK's Secret Service men who Oswald shot from the Texas Book Depository and there was panic. His rifle went off and shot the president again, which was basically like the fatal blow, the second, And because there was all this stuff afterwards that I guess LBJ was heard saying in interviews for the next year. He's like, Secret Service, those guys are going to end up killing me. You can't trust them. The Secret Service, like he made all these like cryptid comments about the Secret Service being idiots and maybe killing him. And it would also explain why there was something to cover up, if there was something to cover up, because it would be real blow to morale that if the fatal bullet wound was one of the Secret Service men. Now, that's just one of many, many theories.
I don't necessarily believe it.
Yeah.
I went to the Book Depository. I'm from Texas, and I finally went, took a friend coming from another state. I was like, fine, we'll go. I vote Irish Mafia took him out.
Yeah.
That to me seems the most plausible.
Those are the ones that get me, those high stakes conspiracy where a lot's on the line, like JFK. Like, I personally don't believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted completely alone and on his own account. And then I also have questions, not to bring it totally crazy, but, 9/11 leaves me with a lot of questions too. So,
Really? I feel like it's pretty buttoned up.
No, I disagree. all I would
this
have
is
to
Bryce
do.
This show. He can take this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, when you watch that World Trade Center Building 7 go down, like in a demoed collapse, it wasn't even on fire. Like, that's weird. And then so that starts you the journey down the rabbit hole. Well, if that could possibly just demo like that without even being hit by a plane or on fire, what the fuck is going on?
Or is it just a bunch of really bad architects that are like, look, we have this thing put in place. If one building gets on fire, the whole thing implodes for the insurance.
I don't know.
No, it is insane. We all saw loose change. We all saw it. Question. And by the way, echoing your thing earlier, and what have I always been saying? Everything comes back to anti-Semitism. The whole world.
Yeah.
Read a book called Them by John Ronson. It's great. And it totally, it was written before 9/11, and it very much sets up the mindset of sort of how we got to where we are today in our politics, especially on the right wing.
Stefan_NJ says, oh my God, what a crossover event. What conspiracy theory was you thinking? I don't believe it, but if it turns out to be true, I wouldn't be too surprised.
I don't understand that.
What he meant to say was, what conspiracy were you thinking? Quote, wow, I don't believe it, but if it turns out to be true, I wouldn't be surprised, end quote.
I'd go with the, Marilyn Monroe was murdered.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That makes sense.
Sleeping with the Kennedy boys.
I think she had, a lot of problems, though. So
yeah.
I
for sure.
People overdose all the time. I think she was murdered, though. I agree with you.
I'd go with that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carrot 1682, where do you draw the line between fact and fiction when it comes to believing in something or not? Do you take a science research approach, i.e. show your work, prove your theory, and have repeated results? Or is it all just fun and hope it's true, finding interesting stories, pondering the what-ifs without fully believing it as fact?
I think Michael and I have both had experiences in our life that attest to a stranger aspect of the world. So I think we take it from our own senses and sensibilities that lead us to believe that there's a— that this is a much stranger world that we're a part of. And then from there, it's about, finding these stories that we like to highlight for high strangeness and realizing that there's something here. All these people aren't hallucinating. They're not liars. They're not hoaxers. It's not mass hallucination. But where there's smoke, there's often sometimes fire. So, yeah, there's a lot of strange shit. And people who are closed off, who just think, the material world is all, like you said, buttoned up. I have a problem with that. I don't think that's the case
at
all.
You have a problem with Eliza? You want to take it up right now?
you're that guy.
Yeah. No.
I'm just repeating what you said. It's just what he said.
I always say trust your gut when it comes to this stuff, and which is kind of a weird thing. Sometimes I'll be researching a story, and I will just go, this doesn't pass the sniff test. The other thing that you look for in a lot of these stories are how many people witnessed the same thing.
Yeah.
Was there physical evidence? Is there anybody corroborating this story?
Corroboration is huge.
That is huge, yeah. Because if you have 2, 3, 4 people witnessing the same thing and having the same memories, or on the same night seeing... Like, there's the Socorro saucer. This is in 1967.
Just the couple?
That's Betty and Barney Hill. That was around the same time, but this was out in Arizona. There was a policeman who...
Lonnie Zamora.
Lonnie Zamora, who pulled over because he saw...
Show your work as you're speaking. Show the work. Otherwise...
He saw this egg-shaped craft on the side of the Arizona highway with 2 little men outside of it. And he at first thought that it was somebody from the Air Force that had, they were broken down or something. So he pulled over. Well, he didn't know what it was.
Sure.
You know, he saw this thing and he's like, well, this must be some Army boys or Air Force boys. So he rounds this corner and comes around the bend, parks the car. And as he's doing that, he sees these guys slam a hatch on this craft, take off and fly away.
Yeah.
And he was this really just like regular old police officer dude, family man, never believed or thought about this stuff. And he became a laughingstock after he told this story. He ultimately had to retire and from the cops, from the force, because he was made a laughingstock. But that same day, there was a family of 4 that were vacationing, driving through the desert, and they were getting gas, and they saw what they described as a white sort of egg-shaped craft zoom overhead in the direction where Lonnie Zamora had encountered it.
Wow.
So you get stories like that.
Well, not only that, he called in the sheriff's department, and they brought out another officer who was able to visibly identify the landing marks and the scorched earth below.
Yeah.
So that was physical trace evidence, a triangulation of witness evidence, as well as a pillar of the community, a sheriff who's a trained observer saying, this is what I saw. I have nothing to gain. In fact, he had more to lose
than
anything to gain.
And he did. Sure. Basically lost his job.
That's a great question. Always like, what do you have to gain? And if the person has more to lose, listen to them more. It's not like he was running for reality TV.
That's why a lot of these encounters and these things go unreported often, because people are scared of the stigma that comes with talking about it. And I think part of the fun that we have is we like to make fun of ourselves for being super into this stuff. But it is one of those things where you're like, also don't feel ashamed or weirded out if you've had a strange experience.
Not at all.
Because everybody's had them.
No matter how sexual it was.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Speaking of completely made up things, and I love it when I can tie questions together. I feel really professional. Meredith Fuquion, have you ever been told a paranormal story / experience that you definitely think was completely made up? Living in Maine or Stephen King's actual fortress, I hear a ton of stories claiming crazy things. Also, I was excited Eliza was coming to Portland. I went last weekend. It was excellent. Anyway, ever heard anything where you're like, no? And maybe it's something that like other people are like, this is for sure true. And you're like, I just can't do it.
I've definitely read stories for the podcast where I'm like, I think this is bullshit.
If you can catch one person in one lie, then you can say, okay, well, if he got caught lying on this, there's a good chance that the rest of this stuff he's peddling is probably bullshit as well.
Sure. It's a good law.
But I don't know if anyone's told me a story personally that I've gone, I don't believe you. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to, this is a controversial one on our show, another person brought up Bob Lazar. I don't believe that story.
Who is that person for everyone listening?
So Bob Lazar was a guy who claims to have worked at Area 51 on top secret spacecraft. And his story is a bit compelling because he came out in the late 80s as a, one of those like shadowy people in a local news interview saying, the government's doing this and I've worked on these craft and they're
shadowy
hiding
people,
it.
Shadowy people, different like, from shadow people.
Different from shadow people, yes. But you know, basically like had his face covered.
Yes.
And then didn't use his real name, and then quickly did come public with it. Now, he did have some knowledge of Area 51 and its location before it was made public.
Can you explain Area 51?
Okay.
Just because some listeners don't know.
Yes. Bryce, why don't you take Area 51?
Yeah, it was a secretive base that it's been around for almost close to 100 years, and it was only actually discovered isn't the word, but the CIA
disclosed.
Thank you. The CIA released that it was an actual base in the late 80s, I believe. So for a long time, people.
It still
were,
is in the Nevada desert.
Yeah, it's still an operational base.
They build, I think, the stealth bomber there.
But for so long, they did. But for so long, people were just hinting at there must be a base out there. We think there's a base out there. And they denied until.
Sky watchers at night would see strange lights out over that area of the desert. This is like 60 miles, 100 something miles north of Las Vegas.
But the Cliff's Notes of Bob Lazar's story is that he back engineered up to 9 flying saucers that were there at an area called S4, just located outside of Area 51. Now, the most compelling piece of evidence is that he and his friends, they would go out on Wednesday night when they would test fly these UFOs, and his friends actually both witnessed these test flights of these UFOs, managed to take video recordings of it. So, and that's just one piece of his story that's compelling to like, yeah, there's probably something to this guy's story, because how would he know the schedule of these test flights? And not only that, he got in a lot of shit for bringing his friends out there, but that's just one of the more compelling pieces that this guy might have some validity to what he's
also
saying.
One of these guys who says he went to MIT, he went to Caltech. There's no records of that.
Yeah,
he
this
can't
is the
find,
problem.
And there are no people in his
I have
life.
An ex-boyfriend like
no,
that.
Yeah, no people that can come out. He's had no people come out say, yeah, I took classes with him at MIT. Yes, I went to Caltech. Supporters of his story say, well, the government erased him from.
But someone would have remembered him.
But someone still would have remembered him. There's one guy who says, I took him to Caltech one day. And it's like, yeah, but I can be a pathological liar and say, I need to go. Hey, Bryce, I'm shooting a movie at Paramount. I need a ride. You can drop me off at Paramount, and I can walk up to the gate and wait for you and hide
or
in the bushes until you drive away.
I could pay anyone $100 to say that they took me to Caltech one day.
Exactly. So there's just also he has a bit of a criminal record.
Who doesn't?
So there's just stuff where it's like, all right, but if I want your credibility and you're the only person who's telling this story and there are no witnesses who can corroborate your story, I think you sound more like a guy who wished he was more important than he actually was in his own life.
This is definitely one of those cases where Michael and I are a little bit split. I believe there's much more to the story of Bob Lazar than just being a sociopathic liar.
I think
he has all the trappings of a sociopath, or he's a truth teller, and we're the society like, stay
we're
in
the
lane.
Crazy
it's
ones.
It's like these mysteries we'll never know, and it's just that's the bottom line. Just like the JFK thing, just like the 9/11 thing, just like this thing. We'll never know. We can only extrapolate and take guesses at it at our best. But
speaking of never knowing. Magdala 21, hi Eliza and guests. As someone who hails from the land of Bigfoot, or Sasquatch as we like to call him in the Pacific Northwest, I love a good Bigfoot theory. What are your thoughts on the theory proposed by some ancient alien theorist and UFOologist that Bigfoot is some kind of alien experiment or possibly an interdimensional extraterrestrial himself? As there seems to be some correlation between Bigfoot sightings and the UFO activity, please discuss and fill my heart with nerdy conspiracy theories. Eliza, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Yeah, listen, there's a lot of stories where eyewitnesses will see these large bipedal hairy creatures followed by or, post a strange light in the sky. So there's a handful of good cases.
Is that a thing? I've never heard that.
It is a thing.
There is a Native American myth, too. I can't remember which tribe it was, where they talked about the moon coming down from the sky.
Yeah, dropping off, too.
They would see a moon come down and then Sasquatch walk out of the moon. But Bryce, you have been at times in our podcast like a big proponent of the interdimensional theory.
Sure.
Expound.
Well, yeah, because you have these witnesses that actually claim with their visible eyes that they saw the creature dematerialize. And it's not just one account. There's multiple accounts where people say that. Not only that, you find these trackways that sort of just they go on for like a couple of miles and then they'll just end in the middle of nowhere, which either leaves you with like this creature is either backpedaling through his tracks or it's almost as if like a helicopter came and just picked him up and took him out of nowhere. So it's a strange thing.
What if he jumped into a tree?
Very possible, but the type of cases I'm talking about, there's like really nothing around. They're like open fields.
There's a story
like that
in one of Linda S. Godfrey's books. Linda S. Godfrey's a cryptozoologist and investigative, paranormal investigator. She's really like super down to earth, was Midwestern woman. And she has this great story about a rancher who called her out because he had had some weird activity on his ranch. I think some animal mutilations and some stuff. And he found these tracks that started, there had been snowfall, and that morning had found tracks that began, these giant, almost like wolf-like, but it was on 2 feet, tracks that started in the middle of the field and then went out into, ran off into the forest line. And it was like almost as if a portal had opened, dropped this thing into our dimension, and then it ran off into the woods.
Yeah. Well, I'll do you one even better. There's a picture. There's a place.
And they had that, you know, Linda came out. She looked at all of that. She wrote about it. She interviewed, this guy's like salt of the earth rancher.
His name's Linda?
They're all named Linda.
Like, I'm like, hold up.
Linda, no, her name's Linda.
There's a place in eastern Utah called the Skinwalker Ranch, and it was owned by a privateer space guy called Robert Bigelow. He made his billions off budget suites in Las Vegas. Anyway, he's like one of the private spaceketeers like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. But anyway, so he bought this ranch because he's very interested in the paranormal. He had a UFO experience when he was younger. So he set up a team of scientists that he put together, almost like an A team of scientists who were going to like study this ranch. And one night, two of the scientists were—
It was like literally something out of a James Cameron movie where these people bought a ranch that had haunted a family.
Yeah. It was already called Skinwalker?
It was called Skinwalker Ranch. Skinwalker is the name of like a bad medicine man of the Native American tribes, like using bad magic, and he's able to shapeshift into different animals.
And there's this, and the ranch falls into a stretch of land where the indigenous people would say was the pathway of the Skinwalker.
Right.
So it was already considered cursed and haunted land. This family bought the ranch. They were there. They experienced some crazy, crazy stuff.
Crazy.
Giant wolves.
They call it the paranormal Disneyland. It has everything. So, it has, you know, UFOs, orbs, malicious orbs, too, that kill things. And then, you know, portals opening up in the sky, creatures. Anyway, to get back to the story, these two scientists were in a blind at night. They saw out on the path about 150 yards away this sort of white ball of light sort of opening up. In that, and they have this all on video, and they saw this creature sort of grab the edges.
Well, they say they have it all on video.
No, there's a picture of
it.
I've showed you the picture.
He's setting up a story. I'm getting lost in his eyes.
Yeah. So this creature grabs the edges of this portal, opens it up, and literally steps out of the thing and then walks into the woods. They described it as a large-type creature walking on two legs. And there's a picture of it.
Looks a lot like a Bigfoot. There is a picture.
Was the portal theory already around before that story?
It's been proposed.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, I rest my case.
Yeah, absolutely. So you really have two camps. You have the flesh and blood camp, that this is a creature that science just has yet to undiscover because of its senses, and its main objective is to stay away from human civilization, to keep on the low. And then you have this other camp that's like, you know, there's a lot more stranger aspects to this Bigfootery that could be explained.
Bigfootery.
Yeah.
My question about the portal walking. You know, it could be a wormhole, right? That sounds what that is.
Sure, why not?
I don't see it applied. I mean, I guess if you put it under the context of wormhole, then you hear about it a lot more.
Yep.
But the portal jumping, you don't hear about that as applied to other theories and other things, and I just think it's odd.
I think it would be the same thing, wouldn't it? I mean, probably quantum science would tell us that a wormhole is, in a sense, basically a portal, right? It's really just the same thing.
Sort of interdimensional gateway.
That's right.
I mean, I don't have any experience with any of this, but one time I was driving down Doheny and I was listening to Mariah Carey's song. Wait, this is so serious. This is like years ago when I had a day job, and I kind of like zoned out for a second. And although I was still on Doheny, the song was right, I swear to God, it was right where it had started when I had zoned out in the first place. So it's like I wormholed somewhere, came
you
back.
You had a time loop.
Yeah.
I did. But yet my commute to work remained the same.
I used to listen to Howard Stern a lot, and I would get in my car, and then I'd have to like, I would, you know, get out right at this stopping
point. You'd have to pull over because you're laughing so hard.
No. I would get out, and so it'd be at a stopping point. And then later that day or something, I'd get back in, and it would pick up almost as exactly like right on that stopping point. I don't know if that's just coincidence.
Were you listening to a Howard Stern CD?
No. Okay, it was on Sirius, but whatever.
Well, Elise C., shifting over away from Bigfoot to ghostlier things, which I enjoy, I have a question about what to do. It's also an advice show.
I know I was hoping we were going to get some relationship questions.
Oh, yes. Would you like that?
Yeah, well, definitely.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we can do both.
Emily, can you cook one up? She's like, okay.
I want some.
A crush on
some,
two men in a booth.
God, I'm always dying to give people my opinions.
Yeah. Emily, can you grab me one of the anonymous ones? Okay, can we do this one for the.
Yes.
This would be a great segue.
Yeah, yeah,
love
for
it.
Sure.
Love
this
it.
Advice. And
this
then we're.
Is gonna, also awesome, by the way.
We're going to get to what you came for, which is love advice.
Yes.
Just
absolutely.
So you know, it's a lot of women writing in about having full college educations and not sure what to do with loser boyfriends.
I have strong
opinions. Elise, I have a question about what to do with a possibly haunted mirror. Last year, my mom bought a mirror from Goodwill. She wanted to hang it up in her bedroom and started having nightmares when she moved it in there. She moved it into the hallway closer to my room, and I started having nightmares. I moved it into the entryway close to the living room where our dog sleeps. That night, she began howling, and she never howls at night.
Get rid of
get
that
it out.
Fucking
get
mirror.
It out of the house.
Bark sporadically, but that's it. It's now in the garage facing a wall, which is
no,
fine for now.
Get it out.
Gone.
Get
it out.
Burn that fucking thing.
Yeah, mirrors
smelt
are
it.
Mirrors, just like we talked about, are particular gateways and entry points for otherworldly creatures and or entities. There was a guy named John Dee. He was Queen Elizabeth's astrologer, mathematician, cartographer, and he would do something called scrying, which is being able to look into these sort of spirit worlds and using a mirror, a black obsidian mirror. But yeah, no, mirrors are definitely gateways.
You could, while it's still in the garage, make sure that it's covered. So get a blanket or something to cover it.
Yeah.
But our advice is get it the fuck out of your house.
You know
house.
What you can do? There's this team called the Paramuseum run by Greg and Dana Newkirk, and they actually collect and curate haunted items.
There you
and
go. They have donate a, it to the Paramuseum.
Yeah,
that's
they
a
have
great
a
idea.
Whole museum
just get
full
rid
of
it.
These haunted items.
You don't want it in your house.
No,
get rid of it.
Get rid of it. I wonder why the mirror. I wonder if it's something bad. Because it's always like the Bloody Mary thing. If you look in the mirror,
yeah.
It's always the mirror. Is that because it's like some sort of thing about like our own reflection is
yeah.
the most horrifying thing holding up
so.
A mirror to society?
I mean, for someone who has slight body dysmorphia, I can relate to this.
All of us?
I think that it is. There is something about it that energy-wise, it's like a window. It's like it's glass. Glass itself. Is something that is easier for the spirit realm, they say, to move through.
Interesting.
Like moving through a wall is harder than moving through glass.
Maybe because glass is made of sand. And
right,
sand is
right,
possibly.
Right. And so I think that it's not so much about the reflection as it is about the material and the surface.
Yeah. Hmm.
I also do think that there is just sort of the property of a mirror creates in an essence, a second dimension itself.
Absolutely.
Where it's a reflection.
A reverse dimension.
Haven't you ever remember?
A reverse dimension.
I remember like those, you don't see them as much anymore, but like when I was growing up, I'd go over to friends' houses that had like the Jack and Jill bathrooms that had mirrors on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And you would stare
into
see
the abyss.
An infinite. There's something
oh, yeah.
so creepy
yeah.
about that. And I know it's just an optical illusion, but there's some kind of energy happening there.
Or being
well, it never
trapped
ends.
In a mirror.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a thing.
That's
another
crazy.
Dimension.
Yeah.
And and also in horror movies, a common device used is you always see the bad guy, but it's in the mirror. And then
right,
you turn around
right.
and it's gone.
Totally.
There's a mirror at the Roosevelt Hotel here in Hollywood that is the Marilyn Monroe mirror. And people have seen her reflection appear in the mirror
it's
over their
so
shoulder. I know, not bad at all. But they had it in storage for a long time, and now it's back hanging up. It's near the spare room, I believe.
Yeah. Also, in alien abduction cases, a lot of the witnesses will explain that they were lifted out of their bed and taken through a window. And if there isn't a window in the bedroom, they'll actually be walked out to another room where there is a window, and through that beam of light taken out through that window. So not only do you see it in mirrors and stuff like that, but
yeah.
in the alien abduction phenomena as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's never like through a wall like a Kool-Aid
right.
guy.
Totally.
All right. You guys want the real questions. Speaking of mispronounced words, looping it back to the median versus medium, my fiance is constantly mispronouncing or misusing very common words. I correct him, prefacing the correction with, I don't care that you say this, but I don't want you to say it in front of someone else. But every time he gets offended because he thinks it, he feels like I'm trying to make him feel lesser. Mm-hmm. He always uses good and well improperly almost every time. I honestly don't care if he does it with me. I'm worried he'll do it in a professional setting. How do I make him speak in a more professional manner without scarring his ego? Or should I let his vernacular be his own demise? For example, he said, the dinner I cooked a couple nights ago tasted very well.
I just imagined her, like, her job, like, really worrying about her husband's linguistics all day. Like, God, I hope he doesn't use the wrong well or good today. Yeah. Not today of all days.
Not today at the big meeting.
Get over it. Yeah. I mean.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. Look.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Either you got to decide whether this is a deal breaker for you or not, because he's not going to change. Mm. You can, and he's not going to enjoy you nagging him to fix it all the time. So I think it's one of those things where this is one of those, like, you got to live with it or you got to bounce. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think it also depends on the type of relationship. Like, if my husband ever corrects me, like, well, it doesn't feel great to get things wrong. I'm like, okay, good. I don't want to make that mistake. Mm-hmm. I've definitely known people who'd say things like, oh, I would have ate earlier. And I'm like,
decrepitated, maybe?
But it depends on if it's the kind of person, if he's not cool with it and it's hurting his ego that much, that's indicative of other things that are going to be worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think it's about getting over it as much as he doesn't seem like he's able to handle you telling him he sounds like a moron.
I mean, sometimes it's just about where you grew up and how you were raised. Good luck. You know what I mean? Good luck. But if this is also the biggest problem in your relationship, then you're doing okay. So I would say just relax.
You're here.
Do you want to answer another fragile ego question, or would you like to answer loved one?
I'll take both.
By the way, I fact-checked the pterodactyls over Arizona thing from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
True.
True thing.
True story.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. What? Oh, that's my foot. Anonymous.
It's a ghost.
Oh, it's a ghost. Don't look in my foot mirror. Anonymous.
Whole floor is a mirror.
I asked a platonic male friend of mine why he thought I've been single for so long. Should have said I've.
Hey, she might be able to get with that husband who's about to leave his wife.
Love Grammar Graham. He told me this. Guys our age don't want to date girls like you right now. They want the slutty girls that will just sleep with them and only be a little crazy. Guys will come for you once they've decided. We'll come for you in your sleep.
I'm coming for you.
One night she just looks out her window. There's just like, there's a crowd of just men of all ages just stand, like 40-year-old men.
40-year-old men.
Just standing in the shadows we are outside the Roberts. On her lawn.
Well, they'll come for you once they've decided they don't want to live that frat guy lifestyle anymore and are thinking about settling down. So give it like 5 more years.
Yeah, babe.
I honestly don't know if I should be complimented or insulted by that. I've reached a point where I'm genuinely happy with who I am, and I don't want to change it, but the idea of not being found attractive till I'm almost 30 is such a bummer. Do you think that's how guys actually think, or is it just some bullshit propagated by my generation's obsession with social media?
Wow, weird. I don't know.
Sucks.
Yeah, that dude sucks. You gotta hang out with better guys.
Yeah.
The issue. You're doing great. You be yourself and stop, you know, trying to hook up with these frat boys. Why don't you go someplace where there are
dudes?
Well, sure,
hot
but
dudes.
I mean, I would say to this nice lady to look at her interests and her pastimes and maybe go outside of the bar and party zone to maybe meet some people who are like-minded, some guys who kind of like do some, you know, like if you like hiking or if you like, yeah, I don't know, reading books. If you like, go to the library. I don't know. Look outside your general social circle and see if you can find somebody to date there. Because these guys all sound like they're far more interested in just, like, pussy.
But right? Fuck it. Just play a numbers game. Sleep with as many frat dudes as you can, and maybe one out of 20 will be cool.
Yeah, women love doing that. Racking up those dicks. I also think, you know, in your 20s, like, girls are more mature than boys. Uh-huh. So you want a boyfriend. She wants a boyfriend, and boys are less mature. And so there are so many good guys that want a girlfriend. You're just, like you said, you're looking at the wrong guys. You're asking the wrong. You probably have like a little bit of crush on the friend you asked.
Mm,
and
probably. That's also like the only time I've ever been asked that question from a friend is a friend who had a little bit of a crush on me.
Yeah, she's asking, you know, and I've definitely been friends with the frat guys who, like, if I wanted to sleep with them, that would have been horrible for me because it would have been like, okay, later. That's not who you want. That's not who
also,
you are.
There's another way to look at this. If he's saying older guys are the ones, you know, go date an older guy. Go find a guy in his 30s.
Yeah.
Find someone who has their shit together.
Because you know who wants to date a hot 20-something?
Oh, absolutely.
Any dude in their 30s.
Any dude in their 30s.
Or, Like, have your pick of anyone in their 40s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or, like, reign supreme in the 50s.
I'm now 40, and I've thought I was going to become, like, more mature. I'm only more depraved. There used to be a time where, like, I can't date a 21-year-old. And now I'm like, hey, you know, I meet a nice 21-year-old.
There's also nothing better than seeing, like, an older dude with maybe, not old, but, like, a 50-year-old good-looking guy with, like, a 20-something and just trying to keep up.
Yeah.
He's like, let's go dancing. He's like, I gotta take my calcium shoes.
I have hemorrhoids.
Be back. I have hemorrhoids.
Yeah, go fuck an older guy. Have fun.
And by the way, that friend sucks. And you know what's going to happen to that friend of yours? He's going to get some girl pregnant and they're going to move to like Marina Del Rey and act like they were always happy. Yeah, his life is fucked.
The ironic part is he's actually going to marry earlier than he wants to be miserable for the rest of his life.
Because her parents are going to pressure him because she's a nice girl. Amanda underscore Razavalgi. I'm 28. Razavalgi. It sounds like I'm speaking in tongues.
I feel like we've had like weirder last names than I've heard in a long time.
Razavalgi666. I'm 28 and I have a huge crush on my kickboxing instructor to the point that I feel like I dismiss every other guy because I feel like I clearly know who I really want. He said some things to me that have made me believe he might be into me too, but I'm terrified that if I shoot my shot, I have totally misread things and I'll no longer be comfortable going to the gym and kicking at him.
It's worth it.
This is my first gym and first physical activity that has held my interest long enough to actually see results. I truly love it there. Do I ask him out? If so, how?
There are other kickboxing gyms in your town.
Right?
Yeah, but there's only one him. You know? I tell my son, face your fear and your fear will disappear. So you got to do it. Otherwise, you'll regret not
face
asking
face that dude
him.
And he'll disappear. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He literally vanished. He just disappeared through a portal.
He's like, I'm out of this. I'm gone.
Either this guy's meant to be with you and he'll be like, great, let's run away together.
Yeah.
Or you're like, okay, can I keep paying to kick at you? He'll be like, yeah. It's
$50. I mean, totally the good news is if he rejects you, you can kick him in the face.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's what we all want. M. Falk. I'm the type of person.
Are these all Star Trek characters?
It's M.F. Hawk. M. Falk. I'm the kind of person who's always going a million miles an hour and has a packed schedule. This past month, however, I've had the rare occurrence of having free time, and I've realized that I'm awful at relaxing and just being by myself. I even fell into some pretty dark moments of thinking no one wanted to hang out with me and I was useless. Aww. A lot of my friends have normal day jobs, so they're only free to hang out after work, but I'm tired of always being the one to reach out to them to hang out. Going back to school in 2 weeks, so I know it's only temporary, but it's something that I'm worried will come up again. Any advice on how to relax and be myself without being lonely?
I completely relate to this.
Aww.
In to a degree that I'm not a loser. No, just kidding. I've had to learn, I live alone, and as an adult, I've had to learn, like, figure out a way to, like, kill time when I'm by myself, and I'm somebody who is anxious and has a hard time relaxing, so you've got to, like, take that time, and like you said, it's not that much, but this is going to be something that follows you your whole life.
Haunts you.
You got to learn how to self-soothe and do a little self-care and a little self-indulgence. Mm-hmm. So you got to find something you really love to do, something that makes you feel super relaxed. Maybe it's playing video games. Maybe it's taking a hot bath. Maybe it's like smoking a bowl and watching some old Tarantino movies. Whatever it is.
Super relaxing.
Like, yeah, there you go. Well, for me, but like something that just indulge yourself, like, and take the time. The 2 weeks, I'm sure, are already up, but take that time to be like, hey, fuck it. I'm going to be by myself. Let's see how this goes. Like, get to know your body.
Fuck, I love alone time. I can't get enough of it.
Are you married?
I'm married. I've been married for almost 20 years, yeah. So,
and you have
two kids, yeah.
Oh, man.
So yeah. I feel a little out of left field with all this stuff because I was dating my wife before there were smartphones and all that shit. So
crazy.
Out of the game.
So what's your answer for your alone time?
For the alone time, what do I do? Or
for that 5 minutes in the morning when no one's awake.
Oh, my God. I like to just take myself to a bookstore or something, get a coffee, just chill. But, yeah, I think Mike is exactly right. Just find something you love to do and do more of it.
Also, speaking as a single man who's probably going to be alone for the rest of his life, try just going out by yourself. I do it all the time. Find a bar. If you drink and you're cool with that, find a bar where you know, become a regular someplace.
Become friends with the bartender. Yeah. That way you're like meeting up and it's not, you're not a creep. You don't have to talk to the girls. Like,
totally.
You don't have to be creepy and just post up.
Exactly.
That's your bar.
Find a spot to post up, become a regular someplace.
It's more normal for men to do it than women.
Yes. Mm. And you will meet people there that live in your neighborhood.
Yes.
You'll get to know your neighbors better. You'll know a bartender. And also, you'll probably start getting some free drinks thrown in every now and then.
Yeah.
Do that.
And you'll be fine. Become an alcoholic.
You become an alcoholic. You'll lose everything. You have to sell your hair.
It's working for me right now.
I also, I like the bar thing. I like your coffee thing. When I'm traveling to other cities, I don't go to a bookstore, but I'll go to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You could always, I know men are really anti this, but like a spa day. I know that sounds girly.
Oh, I love a spa day.
Or getting like a pedicure, because when you finally land a chick, I'm assuming you're a man. I don't know why the way you wrote that makes you feel like you're a dude. Girls don't want your like alligator feet. So
get a pedi.
And get a massage.
Yeah, that's nice. Really good.
I also have three words for you. 4chan, deep dive, my friend. But you got to, like, I have very few moments alone. But then, because you also mentioned you don't like reaching out to your friends, you know, and that's a tough thing. And I've said this on the podcast before. When you stop reaching out, you will see people will start to reach out if they actually like you.
For sure.
You got to give people a chance to invite you to things.
I bet he's in his 20s, he or she's in their 20s, because that's when people start to like
drift
for a bit, get weird, and then this is a period in your life. You'll move
past. The best thing is to take up a hobby that no one knows you're doing, and then like you just emerge jacked one day.
Yeah, you just come out with your crossbow.
Crossbow.
I think crossbow.
One more real life question, and then we're going to get to Top of the Cob.
Okay.
Okay, here it goes. Anonymous, I met this guy while on an internship in San Francisco, and we've been officially boyfriend and girlfriend for about 1.5 months, but we've seen each other for what?
Okay, go on. Sorry, you're answering my question. Sorry.
But have seen each other for about 2.5 months. But have seen each other. I think she says, but haven't seen each other. I think that's what that means.
I think they've been seeing each other for 2.5 months, but have been officially a couple for 1.5 months.
There you go. The problem is I'm leaving for my internship and heading off to Italy for a study abroad and might not be able to return to SF until I finish my degree May 2021. Note, I go to school in Ohio and this is my first relationship. I'm not even going to finish this. Goodbye. My boyfriend isn't sure if he wants to do long distance as he's done it with a previous girlfriend and he wants to fuck.
Yeah.
Especially with the gap in long distance. Blah, blah, blah. How should I go about discussing of wanting to try long distance?
Fuck as much as possible before you leave town.
Yes.
And then
leave town.
Go find a hot Italian dude.
Yeah, but don't touch his penis.
And then when he comes, when you're back in town and you got, like, leave it open to be like, hey, no pressure. Let's talk while I'm gone, whatever. If you're back in town, like over holiday breaks, hook up with the guy if you're both still single.
Sure.
Also, I think girls forget he obviously doesn't want to do a long distance because he wants to sleep with other girls. And this is totally normal, especially at that age.
Yeah.
You're discounting your own libido.
Yeah.
You're going to get to Italy and like dudes are just going to be hot with like okay teeth, like left and right. And like it's go time.
Yeah.
Don't forget. You don't want to be the girl that makes them, you stay together. And then you're like, but I met Ronaldo. And then you're a bitch. Mm-hmm. So just cut your losses.
Yeah, it sucks to hear. Have fun, you know, and see, you know, just spend as much time as you can with each other before you go to Italy. And who knows what happens, you know?
So you're from America,
Keep it a little loose.
Oh, my God. You guys say Vino?
You're so nice. Come back with
me. Actually, it's all going to be like, hey, baby, hey, come here.
Oh, listen to me. I'm not even kidding. If you're a single girl, it doesn't even matter what you look like going to Italy. If you don't want to be verbally harassed, like, out of your clothes, walk with a man down the street. When I went with my husband for a honeymoon, I, like, had a low self-esteem crash. I was like, no one's even looking at me. But the second he was gone,
this goes back
police
to the hotel.
Officers like, tiki-tiki-tiki. Woo, woo. So don't
worry.
Weird
European sirens just, like, following you.
Interpol. Ow, 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 ow. All right. It's time for my favorite part of the show, Top of the Cob. Hit it.
It's the Top of the Cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite, Top of the Cob.
Welcome to our world, gentlemen.
Wow. Awesome.
Have you prepared your tops and bottoms of the
cobs? Yeah, this is stressful.
Yeah.
It is stressful.
Holy shit.
Do you want me to kick it off or would you
kick it off?
You kick it off.
Well, I wanted to do one that was thematic to having you here. Little did I know you wanted to answer relationship advice. I feel so bad now. We'll have to have you back.
No, both.
That was
both
fun.
Both are great. Both are great.
Because we have more questions. So we'll do it another time. My Top of the Cob is a good scary movie where the antagonist is not a murderer with like an axe. I love a ghost antagonist. Antagonist. So I love like Annabelle and the Insidious movies. Yeah. Anything with a nun or Stigmata.
La Llorona.
Didn't see La Llorona. Somebody did ask if you believe that.
I was just researching a story where somebody saw her in New Mexico.
It's
always around a body of water because that's part of her mythology. Sure. I mean, the woman in white ghost is a recurring thing. Yes.
Sharp objects. It was a woman in white.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Sharper image.
But I, But yeah, I definitely believe there's something to that legend for sure. That's the ghost of the woman who, some stories she murdered her own kids and now she's crying and looking
like Mama.
For, lost Mama. Ooh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Nell, but with La Llorona.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love a good ghost scare. Hereditary, loved it until the end where I was like, what the fuck was that?
Dude. So we can talk about Hereditary.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, the Toni Collette kill scene up there with Exorcist, in my opinion.
Totally. That was awesome.
So that's my Top of the Cob dedicated to you, gentlemen.
Did you have one specifically that you watched this week?
Oh, like Midsommar or something?
Midsommar
no, I didn't know.
So
yeah, did you have?
Oh, I love that.
No, I did see that with my niece.
Just in general, I've made every man I've ever dated, my husband included, take me to see a scary movie so I can just scream.
Oh, that's great.
And they're so bored, and I'm like, I'm so turned on.
Yeah, right.
So, it's great.
My Top of the Cob would be that two of my friends who met through me are getting married at the end of the month, and I'm officiating the wedding. So I've been reading their stories of how they met that they haven't read, but that I've been reading them.
Oh.
And I'm editing it together to put as part of their love story in the ceremony. And it's just real nice right now to have a like something that I'm working on that's like not about me. Mm-hmm. It's not about the business. And it's just completely affirming.
I like that.
And it's really, really nice.
I like that. That's nice.
Nice. My Top of the Cob, since it's summertime, is getting shaved ice with the kitties. We love it. It's hot. It's beautiful. And they got all those lovely flavors.
You have not stopped talking about shaved ice.
I'm addicted now.
For like
it's
3 days.
When
that's
he said
not true.
Getting shaved, I was like, where's this going?
Where's the shaved ice that you're getting?
Shout out to Brian Shaved Ice and Boba on Ventura Boulevard. That place is fantastic.
What flavor do you go with?
I go with, I have to stop doing pineapple because my daughter said it tasted like piss. But I do cherry, peach.
I have questions for your daughter.
I do too. How much piss is she drinking?
Too much.
Cherry, peach, okay.
Cherry, peach, and then what's the other one?
Don't say bubble gum.
No, I don't. No, it's not bubble gum. Oh, I forget. Who cares?
I used to eat bubblegum ice
cream. What are we talking about?
I used to eat that bubblegum ice cream as a kid, and I would swallow those.
Emily likes it.
Oh, yeah.
Garbo. It was Garbo machine.
It was like eating ice cream cone. It was like eating an ice cream cone with teeth in it. It was. So...
Yeah, that's not good.
You know what? I'm going to change my bottom of the cob.
Oh, wow.
Because now that you said it, my bottom of the cob, as much as everyone knows, I love Sour Patch Kids, SPK. The back of the, like, utility size, like, gigantic Econo bag of Sour Patch Kids has a recipe for Sour Patch Kid cookies.
Oh.
Fruit.
Fuck that.
Doesn't belong in a cookie.
No.
Chocolate only.
No.
Chocolate only.
Those juju cookies, they piss me off.
No gelatin in my fucking cookie.
I'm with you on that. 100.
So that's, you know what? That's my bottom of the cob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Candy in the cookies. Fruity candy in a cookie.
I like I like an M&M in a cookie.
That's chocolate. That's different.
Yeah, I guess so. I like sprinkles on a cookie. Mm-hmm.
We're getting off topic. What's your bottom of the cob?
Mine's now way too dark if we're talking about cookies.
No. Sometimes last night I had a dream that I was dead. Okay, now we're dark. Go on.
Bryce, you go first.
Yeah, right. So my bottom of the cob is like close-minded people to the mysterious world. Like I was trying to talk to this guy about a Bigfoot sighting and people trying to do what's called getting a vocalization using a call blast. So a call blast is when you like send out a proposed sound of a Bigfoot in the hopes that something calls back. And I was like... And I was telling him about this really interesting case where something called back, and he was immediately like, oh, you mean like an elk? And I was like, no, it wasn't any animal. Oh, you mean like Bob? Bob's doing it out there. And I'm like, you're an asshole.
I love that this is your arch nemesis.
Yeah, but the skeptic, the person who is totally closed-minded to these things, I don't like it.
Mine's sort of in line with yours.
The dismissive skeptic.
Dismissive skeptic, yeah.
That's no good. I'll tell you something. This happened to me on the way over here today. I am really tired of people who don't use their signal when they are turning or changing lanes. I don't know when people stopped thinking that no longer pertained to you, but we don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yep.
So use your signals.
It's there.
Yeah.
Oh, drives me crazy.
And it's one of those things where it's hard to prove the person didn't when you smash into them because you rear into them. It's like, but officer, you're an animal. That is awful, but, you know, that's such as living in
a
society.
I feel like people have gotten, they've become like way worse drivers and way more arrogant drivers since Trump's been in office.
Mm.
I honestly think that people have just been like, fuck it, I can do whatever I want now.
I think... we've reached a critical mass of humans in Los Angeles, and and that's people are just getting worse, and there's more people, therefore more bad drivers to cancel out all the good drivers like
me.
It does
feel a little overcrowded.
It's a little overcrowded.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Just walking here on Sunset, you're on Sunset, and I was thinking about my bottom of the Cobb, and like within 5 minutes, I was like, douchey people. I was like, but wait, no.
Whole city.
That old standard.
And then you go to like a normal city. I travel to like Michigan or somewhere, and people are like, hi. They make eye contact.
Right, yeah. Totally.
Everyone's using plastic straws, but that's beside the point.
Right.
So, you know, take the good with the bad. I'm going to do your shout outs because I think it's tacky when hosts are like, tell people about yourself, because that makes me feel like the host didn't know who they just had. Michael McMillan is at MC Mills, MILZZ, on Instagram.
Yeah, McMills.
McMills. Bryce Johnson is Mr. Bryce Johnson on Instagram, Bryce O. Johnson on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And their podcast is at Bigfoot Collectors Club on Instagram, Bigfoot_C Club.
Bryce. Right.
No.
On Twitter.
I brought you a sticker.
Oh, that's nice. We hate our Twitter.
Is he
handle.
Going through a portal?
Yeah, he is.
Portal. He's going through a portal. Yeah. It's a sloth going through a portal.
It's a Bigfoot. Yeah,
it's a Bigfoot.
It's a little slothy.
He's
you're right.
A little right. slothy.
But this has been really fun, and everybody was really excited to have you on. We didn't get to all the questions, which means you guys have to come back.
We'd love to. Sorry,
it was
we
so
didn't.
Fun.
If we try to derail it into a regular episode of this show, but I never get to answer love advice questions.
No,
so I'm
great.
Glad we got to do both.
Me too, because now I know more about cryptozoology than I'll ever need.
Hey, and by the way, you absolutely have to come do our show.
I would love to.
You are welcome.
Like, great.
Anytime.
Like, I'll just be like, I don't know.
No, but that's great. Because then we also tell you a story. So we our guests will share their personal paranormal history if they have one, and then we'll share a story of high strangeness from history.
I do have a grandfather that's dead.
There you go.
It'll work.
All right.
Work.
Lots of ghosts of grandparents stories out there. Yeah. We'll take all of them that we can get.
All right. I'll see you guys there.
Great.
Deal.
Love
Done.
It.
Do you
Done.
Have a sign-off? Like a Bigfoot collector sign-off?
Yes. Until next week, go get regressed.